Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Gimel in Masechet Shvuos. We went through the Mishnah, and so now we begin the Gemara, the bottom of Beis and the Beis. The Mishnah started off by saying that there are actually four areas of halacha that are shtayim shehen arba, two which become four. In other words, two primary explicit laws, and then two other laws are added that are derived from extra language and verses. So that's true in terms of oaths. The two primary oaths are a guy who swears, I will eat, or he swears, I won't eat, and he either eats or doesn't eat, and by mistake, he has to bring a carbon olav yored. And then through interpretation, we added a person who said he swore he ate or he swore that he didn't eat. And it turns out he was mistaken, so he'd have to bring a carbon. Then we said that the other case of two, which end up becoming four, is regards to the forgetting of sanctity. Somebody knew he was impure, forgot he was impure, walked into the temple. That's one case. Knew he was impure, forgot he was impure, ate from the sacrifice. Then he remembers that he's impure and he ate from a sacrifice or walked into the temple. Those are the two that are explicit. And then added to that, there's also the cases of a person who knows he's impure, but he forgets that... He knew he was impure, but he forgot that this is the temple. Or he knew he was impure, but he forgot that this is a sacrifice. And then he remembers that this is the temple or the sacrifice. So those two cases also have the law of having to bring a sin offering that was olev yored. It depends on his wealth. And the Mishnah said that another two cases of two, which are four, are Yitzios HaShabbos, the law not to carry things out on Shabbos. Explicit in the verse is not to carry from inside to outside. And that there are two cases, the guy standing inside who carries outside, or a man standing outside who puts his hand inside, lifts something up and carries it outside. Those are two that are explicit. Then there are four, another two, namely, the person standing outside who carries in, or the person standing inside who carries in. And then finally, there are two which are four in regards to tzara'at, that if a person has a certain skin ailment on his skin, so depending on the colors, if the white is the color of cotton, color of wool, or the color of... the color of wool or the color of snow, he is impure. That's explicit. And then added to that, another two cases, is what's called sapachat, an addendum to that. Namely, if it was the white as the white of an egg, or white as the whiteness of a wall in the temple. All those different colors of white create impurities. That was the beginning of the Mishnah. Again, the beginning of the Mishnah was to list different, all the four times in halacha, in Jewish law, which is shtayim shein arba. There are two cases that are explicit, plus another two cases that are derived from verses. So now we'll start with the Gemara on the bottom of Bet Amud Bet, 2b. Michti, let's take a look. Tana mimakos salik. Our Tana last taught us tractate makos. Okay? So good, very good. So maishna de tani shvuos. So why suddenly do we go from makos to shvuos? So answers the Gemara. Back on daf chaf in mesechta makos. Mishum de tani, you talked about different sins that create lashes. One of them is the sin of using a razor to cut off a person's peyot, either the corners of the hair, or the peyot hazakan, the corners of the beard. So it said over there, chayev al arosh shtayim, for cutting off the peyos of the head, you could have a situation where the single act with the razor will get you two sets of lashes. Why? Because a guy takes a razor and he makes a nice circle around the back of his hair, cutting off all the hair at the temples and cutting off all the hair in the back. He makes a nice little round a bowl, like the way the Nazis Yimach Shemam had their haircuts. So he would get two malkos, one for cutting off over here, one for cutting off over here, one for cutting off these peos, and one for cutting off these peos. So ala rosh chayiv shtayim, chayiv ala rosh shtayim, he could be obligated for the head two sets of lashes, achas mikan, one on this side, v'achas mikan, one on that side. Then the Mishnah continued, we're on Gimel Amud Aleph now, v'ala zakan, and for using a razor to cut off the beard, you could end up with five sets of lashes, because shtayim mikan is shtayim mikan, you could have two on the two corners on each side of the cheek, and achas milamata, plus a fifth for the chin. So there, in the end of Makos, it was Chadza, it was one act, the Machayva Latarte. It's one which ends up becoming two. One act of cutting off peos, which gets you two sets of lashes, because you cut off the peos on the right and the peos on the left. Oh, so we're talking about one which becomes two. So that then leads you to Shvuos, which is all about two which become four. Tana Shvuos, that's why it then teaches Shvuos, because Shvuos is a situation of Shtayim Shein Arba. Two that are explicit, an oath that I will eat or an oath that I won't eat, which then are added through interpretation. We add another two oaths, an oath that I ate and an oath that I did not eat. So it's two which are primarily, which become four. So again, it's similar to one which becomes two. That's why we have Shvuos right after Makos.
So every Avera, you double it up.
Not every Avera, no. These sins end up getting bigger. The sin of cutting peos is one act which ends up becoming two sins. Or the sin of oaths, it's two that are explicit, but then based on interpreting verses, there's an added two. So it's like two which became four.
Shaving, it becomes three.
Because shaving the whole face would become, it could be seven. You have these two, plus you have these two, and then you have the fifth over here.
I mean, it really should have been the Dharma Nazir, right? What we should do in Shavuos.
And some, right, and one element, that's a very important point, that there's a lot of differences between the way Nedarim and Nazir start, which both start about kinuye nedarim, right? If you say the word neder, if you say something else, which means neder, Shavuos doesn't start that way. And the Rishonim point out, because in those mesechtot, the first topic is the topic of yados, a handle. You may not have said the whole thing, but even a partial statement counts as if you said the whole thing. In Shavuos, you have to actually say the whole thing. So it does start differently in Shavuos, and you're right, so Shavuos, you know, maybe it should have belonged there, but it doesn't. Okay, so that was the first question. The first question is, what was the connection between this Mishnah and Makos? The answer is the end of Makos talks about one act becoming two sins. So that's a good segue into what began as two primary sins became four sins. Okay, next question. This Mishnah about two which are four appears elsewhere. It appears in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, where the Mishnah starts by saying, carrying on Shabbos, Tzios HaShabbos, are two which end up becoming four. The two that are explicit in the verse is the acts of Hotza'ah, taking out from Rishut HaYachid, from a private domain into a public domain. And those are two scenarios of that, namely the guy standing inside, who we call the Ashir, the rich man, who's standing inside and he takes something and he passes it outside and puts it down. And the Ani, the man standing outside, who puts his hand inside and lifts it up and takes it out and puts it down. So those are two which are explicit. Shein Arba, which become four with the cases of Hachnasa, of taking something from the public domain out into the private domain. And that also has two cases, namely the person standing inside bringing something in and the person standing outside bringing something in. There's the Ashir and the Ani. And that's it. In Masechet Shabbos, it just talks about two which are four in regards to Shabbos. In Masechet Negayim, it talks about two which are four in regards to the Tzara'at. So the Gemara now asks, why is Shavuos different, where it lists all four cases of Shtayim Shein Arba, namely Shavuos, Yedios HaTumah, Maros Negayim, Yitzios HaShabbos. Umayish Negabi Yitzios Shabbos and Maros Negayim. And why in regards to the beginning of Tractate Negayim and the beginning of Tractate Shabbos? To Lo Katani Luhulukulu, where the Mishnah doesn't list all the different cases of Shtayim Shein Arba. In Shabbos, it just listed the Shtayim Shein Arba of Shabbos. And in Negayim, it only lists the Shtayim Shein Arba of Tzaras, of Maros Negayim. Amri, they answered in the yeshiva. Shvuos v'yadiyas ha-tumah. As I mentioned yesterday, in the Torah, in Vayikra, chapter 5, the Torah mentions the idea that an oath that is violated can create a sin offering, which is a sliding scale sin offering. The wealthy man has to bring a sheep, the poor man can bring two birds, and the very poor man can bring just a meal offering, just some flour. And then in chapter 5 of Vayikra, it mentions that a person who knew he was impure, then he forgot he was impure, and he did something wrong. He walked into the temple, we understand, and he came out, and after he came out, he remembered he was impure, also brings the sliding scale offering. So since both of those are in the same section, so Shvuos v'yadiyas ha-tumah d'gabi adadi k'sivin, both oaths and the issue of knowing about impurity and then forgetting and then knowing again are written next to each other in Vayikra chapter 5. V'damya nahadadi, and they're both similar to each other, v'karban olav yori, they both get the same sacrifice, the sliding scale sacrifice. So therefore, Tani Luhu Gabi Adadi. That's why once we mention Shvuos, we also mention Maros Negayim. I'm sorry, we mentioned Yedios HaTzumah because that, you know, one leads to the next because they were together in the Torah. They should be together in the Mishnah. Ayid Tani Tarti. So once we taught these two cases of two which become four, Tani Kulu. So we throw in the other two cases too, Shabbos and Maros Negayim. Okay.
These are all korbanot, no lashes.
In our discussion right now, we're talking about korbanos, but we'll see. It's not necessarily all korbanos. We'll see. Okay, so again, these are two little points about the Mishnah. The Mishnah, again, began by talking about Shvuos. It says there are two cases of an oath that are explicit. Another two cases were interpreted by the sages. So it's two primary cases plus two secondary cases, a total of four cases. It says the Gemara, Pasach B'Shvuos. So we start off by talking about oaths. That's the name of the tractate, oaths. And yet, Umefarish Shidiyos HaTzumah. But yet, the majority of the Mishnah was all sorts of details about a person making the temple impure. If he knew he was impure, then he forgets, and he goes into the temple, and when he comes out, he remembers. What happens if he didn't know at the beginning? He only knows at the end. What happens if he knew at the beginning? He hasn't been informed yet about the end. What happens if he never knew at all? All these different scenarios about impurity in the temple. And four different arguments about which sacrifices on which holiday create atonement for which sins. Why do we talk so much about the laws of impurity in the temple? This is Tractate Shvuos. So again, Pasach B'Shvuos, we began by talking about oaths. Umefarish Yedios HaTzumah, and then it goes on to explain in such great detail the laws of forgetting that one is impure and thereby defiling the temple with impurity. So the Gemara says, there really aren't so many laws about impurity. So I did the Zuchon Milayu, since their words are very few, there aren't so many words about impurity, it's just these two chapters of Masechet Shvuos. So once we mention it, because we were mentioning Shvuos, and Yedios HaTzumah is next to Shvuos in the Torah, so therefore, Pasuk Shari Luhu, he breaks them off, and he just gets them out of the way. He explains them all. Let's get all these laws out. Let's teach you all these laws. Then we get to the third chapter of this tractate, we get to Shvuos, another five chapters. Havahadar Tani Shvuos, then he gets into all the details of oaths, different types of oaths, an oath of expression, Shvuas Bitui, an oath that the court imposes, an oath of witnesses, an oath of watchmen. Then we get into all the oaths, and Fishan Milayu, where there are much more details about them. Okay, that was the third point. Next point. Shvuos Shtayim Shein Arba. The Mishnah began by saying there are two primary cases of oaths, and then there's another two cases that were added based on interpretation. So we end up with a total of four cases of oaths. So what is that? So the Shtayim, the two that are explicit, is the man swears she'ochal. Let's say a man is invited to a wedding, and the host is pestering, "Will you come? Will you come? Will you come?" He says, "No, I will come. I swear I'm coming." The man says he swears by God's name that he's coming. He swears that he's going to eat, and then he doesn't end up eating, or he swore shelo ochal. He swore that he won't eat, and that's based on the verse. The verse says, "Ish ki va." O nefesh kiti shaval levate bisfatayim lehara ulehetiv, or a soul, a spirit that will express with its lips either to do something for its own detriment, not to eat, or to do something for its benefit, to eat. And if he then forgets about his oath and he violates the oath, he has to bring the sliding scale korban. Shein arba, and that becomes a total of four types of oaths. Namely, they based on interpretations of verses, we also add in the past tense to do bad or to do good. That if a person swears, achalti, I swear that I ate, and in fact he had not eaten, or he swore, shalo achalti, that he didn't eat when really he did eat, that's also a violation of a shvua, and we'll see what his punishment will be. Yedio Satsuma, then the Mishnah goes on to say, being aware of being impure and going into the temple or eating a sacrifice. Shtayim, there are two scenarios that are explicit. Shehein Arba, plus another two scenarios that are interpreted from the text to get us to a total of four scenarios where there would be an obligation of bringing the sliding scale sin offering. Shtayim, the two that are explicit. Yedias Tumas, Kodesh. Yedias Tumas, Mikdash, where he knew he was impure. Then he forgot he was impure and he went in and he ate that which is holy. And then he remembered. Or he knew he was impure and he forgot he was impure, walked into the temple, and then he remembered. Shein Arba, plus another two, which gets us to four. Namely, he knew he was impure the whole time, but he forgets that this item is a korban. Or he forgot that this building is the temple when he walked into it. Kodesh u Mikdash. Then the Mishnah says, Yitzios HaShabbos, in terms of carrying on Shabbos, the prohibition is two which become four. Shtayim Shein Arba, two are explicit, plus another two that are interpreted to get us to a total of four. Shtayim, the two that are explicit, are Hotza Da'ani, Votza Da'Balabayis. If the man standing outside carries something from inside to out, that's the carrying of the ani, or the man standing inside, the balabayas, the rich man, carries from inside to out. That's explicit because the Torah says, Vayitzav Moshe, Moshe commanded, Vayaviru kol b'machane, and they made a noise in the camp. Al yetz ish b'mkomu b'yom ha-shabbos, no person should go out of his place on the Shabbos day. And we read, Al yetz al yotzi, no person should take out. Shein Arba, but then we added through interpretation another two cases, namely that just like you can't take out from, can't take an item out from a private domain to a public domain, you can't take an item in from a public domain to a private domain. Hachnasa da'ani, the prohibition of the man standing outside, the poor man carrying things in. Vachnasa da'balabais, and the prohibition of the man standing inside carrying things in.
Rabbi, what does it mean? Take the example of poor man versus balabait. I mean, it could be any other
correct
connection.
So the Bar Tanura says in Masechet Shabbos, it's to tell you that even though you might think, oh, he's giving tzedakah, so giving tzedakah should overrule Shabbos, that you can't, it's still a violation, you can't do it. And then the Mishnah says, Maros Negayim, when it comes to the different colors of tzara'at, which colors would make a person impure? Shnayim, there are two colors that are explicit. Shein Arba, but then based on the word sapachas, we include two subordinate colors to get us to a total of four colors that would make a person impure. Shnayim, the two that are explicit are Se'esu Baheres. Shein Arba, which is four, namely the color of the white of wool and the white of snow. Se'es is wool, Baheres is snow. Shein Arba plus another two. Se'es V'toldasa, the secondary the subordinate color, the subordinate white, which is the white of the whiteness of an egg, and Baharis Vitoldasa, the subordinate to the white of snow, is the white of the wall of the Beis HaMikdash. All right, that's the Mishnah. Okay, that's explaining the Mishnah. So now asks the Gemara, Mani Masnisin. Who is our Mishnah? Lor Rabbi Shmuel v'lor Rabbi Akiva. Both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva would have problems with it. Why? Rabbi Shmuel, if it's going to be Rabbi Shmuel, Ha'amar, he says that when it comes to an oath, Eino chayev el al asad lavo, you would only be obligated to bring a korban if you swore that you would not eat and you then ate. You're obligated about the future. But if a person had eaten and he swore that he did not eat in the past, he doesn't have to bring a korban. Rabbi Akiva, if it's Rabbi Akiva, Ha'amar, but what about Yedios HaTumah? He says, Al Halam Tumahu Chayiv. You'd only have to bring the karban, the sliding scale karban, if you forgot that you were impure. Ve'eino Chayiv Al Halam Mikdash. You don't have to bring the sliding scale karban when you forgot that it is a temple and you walked into it, not realizing that it's the temple, and then we're told that it was the temple. So the Gemara answers, Yibayi Same Rabbi Shmuel, Yibayi Same Rabbi Akiva. This is Baruch's point. It could be that this Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel. It could be the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. Yibayisim Rabbi Shmuel could be that the Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel. Because when the Mishnah says that there are four cases of oaths, mehen l'chiyuv, some of them create an obligation of bringing a karban, namely the cases about the future. Mehen l'ftur, but the cases of the past do not create an obligation of bringing a karban. Yibayisim Rabbi Akiva, or you can say it's Rabbi Akiva. That would explain all the cases of oaths. But when it comes to the cases of the forgetting about being impure, mehen l'chiyuv, some create an obligation, namely the case when he forgot he was impure. Or mehen l'ptur, but some of the cases don't create an obligation of a korban when he forgot that it is the temple. That's what the Gemara suggests. The Gemara says that answer doesn't work. Turning now to Gimel Amud Beis, because hadum yodemaros negayim katani. The Mishnah listed four areas of law, of two which are four. Oaths, impurity in the temple, violating Shabbos with carrying on Shabbos, and tzara'as, the skin leprosy. So in skin leprosy, ma'hasam kuluch yuva, all of those cases, namely whether the skin is snow white or whether it is egg white or whether the skin is wool white or wool white. In all of those cases, he's tameh. When he wants to become pure, he has to bring the karbanos of purity. So, afachanami. So then, in the cases of oaths, and in the cases of defiling the temple, it has to be the kul chiyuva. They all have to be cases that create obligation. It can't just be the two cases create obligation, but the other two cases don't create obligation. So the Gemara says like this, okay, you're right. But still I could tell you, Reb Yishmael. I could still say that the Mishnah is Reb Yishmael, even though Reb Yishmael says that an oath about the past does not create an obligation of a sacrifice. Because I'll explain like this. What does Reb Yishmael say about an oath about the past? That it doesn't create an obligation. It doesn't create an obligation of a korban, of a sacrifice. But it does create an obligation of getting lashes. So even though it's normally we don't have lashes on words, you don't get lashes for Lashon Hara, for example. Nevertheless, it's a special pasuk that the sin of an oath in vain is so powerful that it does create a penalty of lashes.
Is
so then,
cover the case of false witness.
What's that? We'll have to see when we get to that.
Isn't that one of the Aseres of Divrei?
What's that? Yeah, that's right. So that's what Ukudah Rava. This is about, this is like what Rava taught. Rava said, the Farish Ribsa Torah, the Torah explicitly said, Shvua Sheker, Tumya Deshvua Shav, that an oath, which is a lie, is like an oath which is totally crazy, like a guy who says he swears that this wooden table is gold. They're both compared to each other. Therefore, ma shav l'shavar, just like an oath that's completely crazy. It's about the past. It says this wood is gold. Of course it's not. Af sheker nami l'shavar, so too the false oath is about the past. And it creates the obligation of lashes. Okay, so that addresses Baruch's point. Baruch said, are all these cases of a karban? According to what the Gemara is saying now, no. Two of the cases are cases of karban, and two of the cases are cases of lashes. If he swears, I will eat, and he doesn't eat. If he swears, I will not eat, and he does eat, then he'd have to bring a sacrifice. The future would create a sacrifice obligation. If he got up and he swore to his wife, I didn't eat, or he swore to her that he did eat, when really he didn't do that, it was really a lie, then he would get lashes. So Mashav l'shavar, just like Shav is about the past of Shekinam l'shavar. So where it says, so Bishlama, I can understand Achalti below Achalti. Okay, you can talk about lashes when you say, I did eat, or I didn't eat, and it's a lie, because either he did or he didn't. Kiddi Rava, as Rava taught, that he would get lashes. But Shelo Ochal, a guy who swears about the future, he swears that he will not eat. Va'achal, and then he goes and eats. Now, I also understand that he swore he will not eat. So then, before he eats, we can warn him. We say, don't eat, and he goes and he eats. So it can get a punishment. Lavshi Yeshbo Maisu, that's an act. That's a prohibition with an act. And fine, okay, that could be the case where he would have to bring a karban. However, Ella Ochal, if a man swore about the future that he will eat, Velo Ochal, and he didn't end up eating, so then, why is there any obligation here? Lav Shein Bo Maisa, there is a prohibition without an act. The Gemara answers, because there's no act. He's violating it by sitting and doing nothing. Answer the Gemara, Kasav Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion, Lav Shein Bo Maisa, Lo Ken Alav. Rabbi Shmuel holds that even a prohibition which is entailed by being passive, that's how it gets triggered, it also gets lashes. Iyach, if that's the case, Kashi Adir B'Yochanan, Adir B'Yochanan. If that would be the case, we would have a contradiction in the views of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan tells us always that when we have a law in the Mishnah without a dispute, halacha is like that law. So in our Mishnah, it begins without a dispute. Two cases of oaths, which become four cases of oaths. No one argues about that. And yet, we learned about Rabbi Yochanan. Shvua she'ochal kikar zu hayom. If a guy swears, I'm going to eat this loaf today. V'avrayom v'lo achla, the day goes by and he doesn't eat it. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish Dami Tarvayu, both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish say, Ein Aloka, he doesn't get lashes for violating the oath. Rabbi Yochanan Amein Aloka, Mishim Davi, Lav Shein Bo Maiser. Rabbi Yochanan says he doesn't get lashes because there's no act. V'chalav Shein Bo Maiser, Ein Lokan Alav. And whenever there's no act, there is no lashes. Reish Lakish Amein Aloka, Reish Lakish says he doesn't get lashes because to get lashes, there has to be a definitive warning. Don't you do this. If you do this, you're going to get punished. But Hasra Safik, if there's a warning and you're not sure if it's really going to come about, it can't create lashes. Here it's Hasra Safik. Because remember, the warning has to be Tokide Dibur, within 3 seconds of the sin. So how's a guy going to warn him? You better eat, because if you don't eat, you're going to have a sin. How's he going to know? 3 seconds before the end of the day. So he's never going to be, it's going to be a warning earlier. You better eat today, otherwise you're going to have a sin. But that's too far away. The warning's not going to be precise enough. So that's what Reish Lakish says. Asra asafiki, it's a doubtful warning. Asra asafik, lo shmei asra. So you see that Rabbi Yochanan says that there is no lashes. 1 second, but he says that the halacha is like our Mishnah. Answer the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan, who says that you don't get lashes for a sin with no act, in the case of a man who made an oath to eat something and then he doesn't eat it, Rabbi Yochanan stamach rina ashkach. He found another Mishnah which supported that understanding. High stomach. Where is his other Mishnah? Ilema high stomach. If it's the following, that's not that the Mishnah said in Masechet Makos, if a person has a karban Pesach and it's pure and he breaks a bone in it, he gets malchus for the lash for the sin of the etzem lotish brubo. Aval hamosir batzohar. But if he has a pure karban Pesach and he just doesn't eat all of the meat, he violates the sin of lo sosir rimenu ad boker. Or ashover batame, if he breaks a bone in a karban Pesach, that is impure, eino lokes harboim. He doesn't get the 40 lashes. So bishlama shover b'tamei. I understand if he breaks the bone of the carbon pesach, which is tamei, he doesn't get lashes. Tichsiv, because the Torah says ve'etzem and a bone lo tishbru bo. Don't break in it. Bekasher, which implies it's a kosher animal, the kosher carbon pesach, don't break a bone in it. The lo b'pasul, but a carbon pesach, which anyway is disqualified, if you break a bone, it's not a prohibition. Avla mosir batar, but if you leave over the meat of a carbon pesach, my timer, why don't you get lashes? Lav, isn't it because? Mishum dahavi lav shein bo maisa. Must be because it's a prohibition, which doesn't entail an act. V'chalav shein bo maisa. Ain lokan alav, and any prohibition without an act gets no lashes, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan's source was, and that's why he paskin like that Mishnah. Please.
Is the person responsible to forewarn somebody if he sees him doing something wrong? Is he obligated?
Yeah.
He's obligated.
Yeah.
He can't say, oh, I'm not gonna.
Yeah, he has to try to save his neshama. Yeah. But again, the warning has to be two witnesses who give them the warning, and they have to be kosher witnesses.
Tell them the punishment.
Right? The punishment, the pasuk, the source. That's right.
Mind your own business.
All right, that's his choice. He's taking the risk. What's David? Yeah. No, because it's not as bad a sin, because it wasn't an act. It was. It's happens passively.
So that, isn't that the Kohen's obligation to eat that?
No, everyone who brings it.
Everybody,
the whole group has to eat, that's right. So now the Gemara asks, Umimai, Reb Yaakov, he. How do we know that Mishnah that said that in regards to Notar, extra meat left over of a carbon pesach, you don't get lashes, is because it's following the view of Rabbi Yaakov, who says lav shein bo maisa in lokan alav, that a prohibition which is violated through passive sitting doesn't get lashes. Dum Rabbi Yehuda, maybe there was another reason why there was no lashes for nosar. The rule of Rabbi Yehuda, namely, there's something called lav anitak lase. If the Torah says don't do something, and then it says, and if you do it, fix it with the following mitzvah, like to say theft. Don't steal, but if you steal, return. So then the Torah is giving you the way to fix it. You get out of it by returning. You don't get out of it by getting lashes. So maybe that's what's going on here. Maybe it's Rabbi Yehudi, Mishum Dabar Kasov, Litein Asay Achar Lotasay. The Torah gives a mitzvah Asay after the prohibition. The Torah says don't leave over the extra meat, but then it says right away, and if you left over the extra meat, burn it. The Chol HaNotar Ba'esh tisrofu. I know Tami Menu ad Boker, Ba'esh tisrofu. So, halav achi, but without the extra assay to sort of neuter the lav, lucky you would get lashes for a prohibition, even though this is a prohibition that doesn't have an act. The Tani Zuhant in a Braisa. The verse says about karbanos, about the carbon pesach, v'los sosirum im menu ad Boker. Don't leave any of the meat over until the morning. You have to eat it that night. But if you did leave anything over till the morning, we have to burn it right away. So the Torah is giving you a mitzvah assay, a positive command to burn it if you did the sin. Lomar, to tell you, Shane Lokan, I love that there's no lashes for this sin. That's a view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yaakov says, Loman Hashem Muzet. That's not the right explanation. The reason why there'd be no lashes for the sin of leaving meat over, Mishum Dahavi, Lav Shein Bo Maisa. It's a sin that doesn't entail an act. Lav Shein Bo Maisa in Lokan, I love. And a sin with no act, there is no lashes. So this is not a proof to Rabbi Yochanan. So how would Rabbi Yochanan know that a sin without an act doesn't get lashes? No, everybody agrees. Everybody agrees about Lav Anitza Klase.
So you can't figure
out from here what it is. So here, maybe this is not because of Lav Shein Bo Maisa, it's because of Lav Shein Bo Anitza Klase. Ella, so the Gemara says, Hai Stama Ashkach, Rabbi Yochanan, who rules that when you do a sin passively, namely you swore to eat and you don't eat, you don't get lashes. That's because of a different Stam Mishnah. Namely, the Mishnah says later, Shvua Shlo Ochal Kikarzu. The man swore that he won't eat a loaf. And then he swore a second time. Shvua shalo ochlena. He swore a second time that he won't eat the loaf. The achla. And then he ate the loaf. Eino chayiv ela achas. He would only get one set of lashes, even though he had made two oaths, because the second oath didn't take effect. We have a rule. Once you are obligated, you can't create a second oath. It's a nishba l'kayimus ha-mitzvah, so he is exempt. However, Mishnah continues and says, Zui shvuos pitui. This is the classical example of an oath about the future. He swears that he won't eat. And in this case, shachayavan alzdon ha-makos, if he went ahead and he ate, he would get lashes for doing it on purpose. Al-Shigagasan, by mistake, he would have to bring a karban olaviyorid. He'd have to bring the sliding scale karban. So it sounds like Zuhi, this is the case. Zohi the chayavan alzdon ha-makos. This is the case of where if you do it, you would have to get lashes for doing it on purpose. Aval ochal, but if he swore that I will eat, the lo achal and he doesn't eat, so that he's violating through passive, lo lucky doesn't get lashes. So you see that the Mishnah is saying that, if you violate the sin through passivity, you don't get lashes. Okay, that perhaps is the source of Rabbi Yochanan. We'll see, the Gemara has multiple possibilities in Rabbi Yochanan. Thank you. Because I'm going to